I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was recorded, and to pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and those emerging. I'm fortunate to be able to spend much of my lifestyle outside on the land of the longest living storytellers in the world, and I'm grateful for their ongoing care and connection to the land and waterways. I do my best to respect the land by treading carefully and acknowledging the beauty when I'm working and playing on country. I learnt a lot about Alex Givney when chatting with her, not the least is her reasons for putting her name forward as a candidate in the future council elections. Alex is easygoing with a calm and down-to-earth nature. I really enjoyed chatting to her and hearing her interesting, long and winding way it took for her to become part of the Bayside community. Enjoy the chat with Alex. Hi, Alex, and thanks for joining me on the Women of Winner Manly podcast.
Thanks, Alana. Thank you for having me.
So as I always ask at the beginning of the discussion, what is it that you love about the Bayside and how did you get here?
That's a very good question. How I got to the Bayside is probably probably not the same as lots of people who live here, but I'm actually from Western Australia. I grew up in mostly in Perth, but spent some time in Karratha and Pemberton. And
I've been to Pemberton.
Have you? Oh, yes. Dad was a fishing man and quite liked fly fishing. So they actually managed a small resort down there at Carrie Valley when I was first born. And that was their first job. So I was kind of born in rural WA, I guess, so to speak. And then when that kind of changed hands and ownership, we moved back to Perth. And mum and dad lived in my mum had purchased a property. They married a bit later, so in their kind of mid-30s, and mum owned a small kind of post-war home, and we moved in there, and dad went off to east of Perth out into the goldfields, and he was a prospector for a period of time and used to leave mum for weeks on end to go and look for gold because that was actually his job.
Don't hear that much anymore.
No. And before that he was a teacher, so that's kind of where I got my teaching hat from. And so after the prospecting, I think mum basically was a bit sick of him being away, and I was a little bit sick in the beginning as a toddler, so she said, no, you need to come home and get a real job. And so Dad got a job up with Woodside in Karratha, and we moved up there when I was about two and spent the first kind of early years in WA in Karratha.
Do you have memories of it?
I do, I do. Yeah. Actually, very fond memories, and quite recently actually in the end of 2019 before, COVID times, we did a crazy adventure when going to Perth to visit my grandparents and took the children up in a tiny, weeny, non-air-conditioned camper van and in the middle of summer up to Karratha. Everyone thought we were crazy, but it was one of the best adventures we've had. So Karratha was wonderful. We made some incredible friendships. My bridesmaid, Lauren, who's still in Perth, we met her over the back fence.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so we cut the gate in the back
fence to get to
each other's houses.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If we were in trouble, we knew that Jackie and Lee were going to tell us off, and they were in trouble. They knew that my parents would tell them off. So
how long were you there for?
About 5 years. So, and my little sister was born, well, she was actually born in Perth and came back because the hospital wasn't all that flash in the early days. But we went back and had Tori, my sister, in Perth. She's 4 years younger. And then we moved back to Perth, and mum and dad had purchased a post-war home in kind of suburbs of Perth, and they renovated that themselves, and dad designed the renovation. So I remember them lugging bricks and doing all that themselves. Dad was always quite creative.
He's a jack of all trades, isn't he?
I was going to say, Dad and I are a bit similar in that way, that we've got many things we can do not very well.
But you give it all a go, by the way.
Absolutely, give it a go. So, yeah, so Dad, Mum and Dad did the renovations, and then kind of we had our primary years at the local sort of state primary school, which I absolutely loved, had amazing teachers. Mm. And then that was probably what sparked my interest in becoming a teacher. And so I spent, time there, and then we moved to Queensland halfway through year nine, that fun year for girls
where the worst.
They're struggling with friendships and all of that. So my parents upped and went over to Queensland from WA, and I actually finished school year boarding at the school I was at for 6 months in year nine.
In Queensland.
In Perth. Oh, my mum and dad were over here. Yeah. And so that was a really interesting chapter. But needless to say, it gave me some really great skills. And then I came over for year 10 here in Brisbane, and we were living in Birkdale at the time.
Okay, yep.
And I went to Moreton Bay for year 10, 11 and 12. So that was kind of my first intro to, I guess, the Bayside. I mean, Birkdale kind of is the Bayside, and I have some really wonderful memories of high school years, some of the boys and girls in the area were into sailing and tinnies and fishing and all of those things. So instead of bikes, there were, kids running around canals and swimming and
water,
trying to hit the bottom of the canal. And, so we had lots of fun. We were very, very lucky in that regard. So then we finished school, and I was one of those girls that had a million jobs. I was determined. Mum and Dad were always really hardworking and really kind of pushed us to be independent. Tori and I were cooking meals really young. Mm. We were helping with housework really young. So we kind of knew the value of work. So at 14 and 9 months, when you can get your job, I'd walk down every morning to Brumby's at Birkdale and buy the loaf of bread for Mum and ask them when they were doing hiring for the next round. And that was quite funny. And eventually the owner, Mary, said, "Okay, Alex, come in on Sunday and I'll give you a trial." So I scored my first job at Brumby's doing the icing shift on a Sunday. It's up at the crack of dawn down there, icing all the buns.
Yeah.
But it was a very popular job at school because I'd do a close a couple of days a week after school, and you'd get some of the leftovers and I'd take those to school and we'd sit down and have a little picnic. So I did that from about, year 10, and then moving forward I got a job at the plantation as a lifeguard, and I also worked in the kiosk and cleaned the toilets and emptied the bins and did reception. I'd kind of bump around all the jobs that needed to be done in a day, and I really enjoyed that. That was a really kind of fun job. It was an all-day job that was like, 8 till 6 on a Sunday or a Saturday. It was huge. So I went through all that kind of lifeguarding stuff and did all my, Bronze Star and Cross and Medallion. But I loved it. It was great. Yeah. And I had my very best friend from Moreton Bay work, or actually two of my very best friends from Moreton Bay working there with me.
Oh, no, I wonder it was fun.
Oh, yeah. We'd all be like relieving each other for lunch. And, it was a really great lifestyle. Did lots of babysitting, and then I scored a job at French restaurant at Wellington Point, and I was waiting tables and, working really hard with customer service and did a lot of that. And then pumpkin patch as well.
Oh, okay.
And often I had two or three at a time. This was kind of
all while you were at school.
While I was at school.
Yeah.
So needless to say, end of year 12, my grades were not quite where they probably could have been, but I was one of the only girls that I knew that purchased my own car. Mum was really good. I'd get my little yellow pay envelope and she'd go $20 for you and $50 for the bank, and I'd be like, "Thanks, Mum." So, but because of that, I learned, the value of work. So I purchased my own first little car, my Suzuki Sierra, and loved that and thought it was really cool at the time.
I had a Sierra once.
Did you? Little soft top.
No.
Oh, I have a little soft top to the roof. It used to leak in the
rain. Pretty cool.
Oh, I thought it was so cool. Probably one of the daggiest people around, but that's okay. But yeah, so I really have happy memories of all my jobs, and then I met a beautiful boy at a party in Wynnum North when I was still 18 actually, at my girlfriend's 19th birthday party. And she introduced me to some mutual friends, and I met Ben, my now husband.
Wow.
And he was a Loader primary boy.
He was a local.
He was a little high boy, didn't really like school all that much, mm-hmm. and I have been told that, you know, he wasn't very well behaved at school, which is quite funny. But he, anyone who meets Ben, and I know that everyone who knows him will attest to this, he is the kindest, most gentle person on this planet. Most men will say, "Oh, is it, who's the top bloke?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I know.
That's why you're hanging around.
That's why, yeah, I was going to say, that's why he's my beautiful husband." So met Ben at a Wynnum North party.
Mm.
And we kind of, you know, dated for a bit. Had a bit of a rocky start. He didn't really do girlfriends because he was pretty cool. He used to ride BMX and was in magazines and whatnot at the time. And, you know, and all his friends were kind of the same way, and they didn't do girlfriends. But I was pretty determined to have him as my boyfriend. So after about 9 months, I think he gave in and went, "Okay, let's give this a go." So, yeah. And then my parents were pretty old school. There was no boys sleeping over. So I said, "Well, we'll have to buy a house." So at the age of 21, we scrimped and saved while I was still at uni doing my teaching degree, and we bought a little post-war cottage in Manly West. And it was actually quite an asbestos post-war cottage, but that's okay. It was a start. It was a foot in the market, and we were over the moon.
Can I ask what you paid for it?
Yeah, and what year that we was? Paid like $278, and it was in 2005.
Wow. Yeah.
So January 2005, we bought our little house in Greta Street, which we later named Upper Greta Street. I don't know why, but it was just at the top of the hill. So, and we had the most beautiful neighbours, one of which still pretends he won't talk to me because I took Ben away from him. And he's got a local business, and if he listens to this, he'll know exactly who it is. And he still gives me grief on taking his best friend away from him, because if I couldn't find Ben, he would be out at the side fence talking to the neighbour about plants and, you know, and gardens and yeah, so it was quite funny. So Ben was a horticulturalist and he used to do gardens, and he was on minimum wage pretty much then, and I was at uni full-time working 3 jobs. Mm. So we would pay the mortgage out of his pay and have $20 left. So because I was on casual jobs, when I had to go and do pracs for uni, we had nothing. Mm-hmm. And I remember having to knock on Ben's brother's door and saying, "Do you reckon you could lend us $500 just so that we can live this month?" Yeah. Because it was a bit like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't do anything for a long period of time. A lot of our friends in the early 20s were out, you know, traveling and partying, and we just, yeah, it was like 2 kilos of mince. Oh, yeah, we're done.
Makes it work. Yeah,
it did. Yeah.
And was it a 3-year course then too to do your teaching there?
Yeah, I did TAFE first, and then it was 2 years at TAFE and then 3 years at uni. So it was 5 years all up. So it was just at uni then.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ben was awesome because I was working so many hours. He'd come home and he'd do the, like, a lot of the cooking and the cleaning, because he was working like 6:30 till 2:30. So he had the
morning shift.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was quite good in that regard that we got that balance even back then, that he knew that I was, you know, out still waitressing, and, you know, I was earning that money so that we could, you know, have it. And we found ways to make it work. We used to have parties at our place. Ben built this incredible, like, gazebo in the backyard, and we had chickens and rainforest kind of gardens, and we had a fairly decent, the house was quite far forward, so we had a decent size yard, and the parties would be everybody bring a plate, bring your own drinks, we'll throw on the sausages, and everyone would just, you know, have a really great time, you know, hanging out in the yard.
So it was really, and your parents nice. Still in the area?
They were in Wynnum into Manly until quite recently. Mm. They've just moved away from the area. They moved only a few months ago. They built a unit down in Cleveland. So, but they were in Kingsley Terrace, and Mum had the costume business that she ran from home. So lots of people kind of knew my mum as the costume lady on Kingsley. So, yeah, needless to say, we've had many a dress-up party in our days. So if there's an opportunity to dress up, we'll absolutely be there. Ben's not so keen as time's gone on, he's gotten better at it.
Embraced
it. Oh, absolutely.
Probably just no point, you know.
Yeah. So then I was doing my teaching degree and I decided that I wanted to – oh, that was the other job that I had all through TAFE and uni was I did outside school hours care.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I worked a lot down at Capalaba PCYC and I ended up coordinating the program down there for vacation care. So I was about 21 and I had 125 kids and 25 staff that I was trying to coordinate, which was always really interesting. And we had kids from all sorts of areas throughout the Redlands that you'd come to PCYC, and I'd write all the programs and organise all the excursions, and it was pretty massive, and it was such good memories.
Good training for teaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. Behaviour management particularly dealing with families and communications and programming and all of those things. So
what – can I just take a step back? Yeah. What made you want to do teaching? What drew you to that as a career?
I have an aunt who was a teacher, and through primary school I went with her a couple of times, you know, to kind of get a feel for what it was about. Mm. And I just always had a bit of an awe for my Auntie Mish and the way that she was with her whole life. We have lots of similarities. She and I, everyone, my mum actually says that she thinks I'm Mish's daughter and my sister is her daughter. So, you know, the things like we were just talking before I came in, like all your beautiful family photos, I'm the same and Auntie Mish is the same with all the sentimental things. My mum's more practical, so it's interesting that, yeah, definitely with teaching it's about relationships and sentiments and, you know, getting to know your students and, you know, what kind of people they are and how they learn and how you can best take them on that journey. Mm. So, yes, I did my teaching degree. Mm. As a kid I'd play schools, you know, my little sister would have to sit there with all her friends and, you know, play schools as I was the teacher, and that was quite funny. Yeah. You know, little cubby house that Dad built us. So
it felt a long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
desire
then,
for you to take that on. Yeah.
And I was quite keen on early childhood. I really wanted the early years. Mm. And I did my diploma at TAFE in community services, children's services, which gives you like that qualification to be an educator in an early learning centre. Mm. But it also gave you the qualification to be a coordinator for outside school hours care. So that's what gave me that qual, so that when I was at uni I could continue to do that job.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's basically how I got into teaching. And then I made the decision to try and get a prac at a school that I knew I might be able to get a job at. Mm. And Moreton Bay Boys at the time was 2 years old.
Oh, really?
It was established in 2003 and in 2005.
I didn't know it was that new.
So in 2005 I went and did my final prac there and then volunteered so that they could, you know who I was. And then I started their outside school hours care program.
Okay.
So in 2006, that was the year we got married. Mm. So I was like, oh, I don't want to work full-time this year. I've just gone from working like three jobs all through uni. Mm. I'd love just to do like normal hours. And I ended up doing the most ridiculous hours because I'd do before school care and then the principal would come into the library and say, so can you do supply today? And I'd be going, sure. And then they go, oh, and then I'd be doing after school care. Mm. So I ended up being from there from like 6:30 in the morning until 6 at night, like almost every day. But anyway, it got me ready for when I started teaching full time in 2007, and I did that until I had the kids. I had
all at Moreton Bay,
all at Moreton Bay Boys, watching these little people come in and start in a new school. Lots of parents taking a risk on, you know, a new educational institution and really small community. Like we all had to put multiple hats on, so I was managing the sailing team, all the things I did at Moreton Bay, managing the sailing team. I took the Leo's Club, which is like Junior Lions International, so that was kind of the service component. Mm. So I took the boys and we used to do fundraising for all different projects. I ran the Africa tour. I'll talk about that later. That was amazing. But ran the Africa tour. I'd go on all the Duke of Edinburgh camps before kids. Like I was like any opportunity to be out in the wilderness and, you know, getting students out. Went on all the Duke of Edinburgh camps and I just was all adventure.
And that was in your first few years.
Adventure club, yeah. Like every co-curricular that no one wanted to take, I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. So I've always been one of those people that wasn't very good at saying no. And so that's how that kind of came about. And then, I fell pregnant with Charlie in 2013, and he was born in December, and I was in the last unair-conditioned classroom in the school in December. And that holidays after I left, they were doing the air conditioning, and it was quite funny. So, and then Charlie's just turned about to turn 10, and then I went back after having a year off with him to full-time work. Thankfully, I have this incredible support network with my mother-in-law and my mum and my sister as well. My mother-in-law, Ben's mum, is the kindest, most generous, gentle person you've ever met on the planet. And my mum is the most organised, generous, selfless person. So I've got these two women who are very, very different and give my children both very incredible opportunities and experiences, but I'm so blessed to have them. And I'm really lucky. And then my sister, while on maternity leave, also has been having my children, you know, one day a week and that kind of thing too. And she's just in Wynnum as well.
We're all kind of in the same area.
So, teaching. And then after I finished having the two children, I came back and I was looking for something new, and a position came up in the community engagement kind of space to do some fundraising and reaching out with the alumni groups. And
very different to the
very
what
different,
you've been doing.
Very different. Yep. But I don't know how to explain it, but kind of flexible hours in regards to I was doing a lot of nights, but I could drop my kids off to school in the morning.
It's not school hours.
And it meant that I was working with the alumni groups too, so old girls, and I am an old girl of Moonbay, and old boys, and there were these boys that I had taught who were graduating who are now part of the old boys thing. And we're also working with all of the local community kind of organisations, you know, still with the Lions Club, also with a lot of the businesses. We were working with some of them with partnerships and that kind of thing, so I'd got to know the Manly Harbour Village Chamber and the Wynnum Chamber, and spend a lot of time with local business owners who wanted to work with the school for the PNFs and that kind of thing. So I was very lucky that I was working in a space where I got to do all sorts of different things.
Yeah, not boring, I'm sure. So did you miss the teaching, the classroom?
I didn't miss the teaching. I missed the relationships and the students. Yep. I think that's probably the biggest thing. You know, there's parents from the first few years of teaching that I'm still friends with. I've been invited to some of, you know, their 50ths, and, you know, just because our environment was so small, we were like a big family.
In the early days.
Even before I was teaching, when I was running the outside school hours care, I was nannying for a couple of those families as well. And those boys are now turning 21, and I had my 40th this year, and those boys I nannied came to my 40th, and I just, I get really beautiful men now. And, you know, watching them be my little preppy nannies, and then I taught them in year one, and then watching them graduate and now be part of the old boys network is really special. So we actually had their reunion on Saturday night, so that was really special.
So you said when you came in you did lots of events.
Yeah, so now I've kind of pivoted a little bit, not to do so much with the partners and the sponsorship, but just focusing on alumni engagement. So lots of reunions at the moment, and we've got a new team that I'm working with, two really great girls who are helping with, you know, the PNF and all of their fundraising activities and setting up all of the, you know, the links to, you know, take payments for events and comms and then, you know, lots of running around, you know, with caterers and, you know, getting all that. So
event management's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not an easy thing to do. So that's kind of how I came to the Bayside. And we moved from our little post-war three-bedroom tiny home just before Charlie was born into a kind of slightly bigger, but not that much, house just in Wynnum. So we've Ben did a mature age apprenticeship, so he left the horticulture alone. And after a few years dabbling in a few different other things, we decided that maybe he needed a career too, and he went and did a mature age apprenticeship. Oh, I was on maternity leave. So that was really fun going from, like, you know, good wage to not so great wage. And he's been, you know, forever renovating the Queenslander that we've got that's got no front stairs and hasn't had front stairs for about 3 years. So, but he's an incredibly hard worker. And if he's not working on the house, he'll find in gardening, you know, we've got a veggie patch and we did have chickens, but we've sadly lost a few. So now we're going to get a new batch. But he also loves fishing. Like, it's just absolutely his world.
So he's living in the right area.
Oh, and that's one of the reasons why we couldn't go anywhere else. And every time I go back to Perth, which used to be kind of annually, but now it's kind of every second year, we do the whole, should we move to Perth for a bit? And then we go, oh, maybe not. We couldn't leave Ben's beautiful mum and all our...
And the help you get with the kids, the village that it takes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And my grandparents, we sadly lost Gran in the COVID year in 2020 and she was 97.
Mm.
And Grandad just turned 100 this year.
Oh, wow.
And then he just moved out of his little unit that he's been in his whole life, or not his whole life, but the last kind of 10, 15 years. Mm. And he's just finally, after his 100th birthday, he said, oh, I think I might move into the home now. And we went, okay, Granddad.
He's ready.
He's ready. So he's gone into that. So, yeah, that's been a really kind of weavy way, but we've been entrenched in this Winner Manly kind of community in lots of different ways. Like, I'm that crazy lady that when a new business opens, I'm like, oh, let's go check it out, you know. So, when the cinemas opened, I was like, every kid's birthday my kids went to, I was like, I'll buy a voucher. So they can go to the movies and, you know, rather than buying toys. Because I just feel our kids have endless amounts of toys.
Experiences are good.
Oh, experiences are great.
Yeah.
And why I love it, I mean, all it takes, I take our dog Tilly, not every morning. I wish I had the energy to do it every morning, but walk down Gordon Parade and you just look at that bay and it's just, it is incredible.
Yeah. You don't tire of it, do you?
No. And it can't help but pick you up. You know, like if you've had, you know, not a great night's sleep or the day before wasn't quite the way you thought it was going to go, you walk down that hill and you kind of just let it all go. And you walk along the waterfront, you see people you know and they're always smiling and they always say hello. And I just find that we're so lucky here. It's like a big country town.
It really is.
You know, the moment you start talking to someone, you realise you've got about 10 people in common, just like we were talking before about some of the other girls you've done, Kel and Ellie and Marley and, you know, there's been Tracy Lucock. You know, they're all women that I've kind of come across in different ways, but they're all such incredible advocates for this area.
Yeah, we're so good ones.
Oh, yeah, so lucky.
So you're going into politics. Tell me about that. How do you have time for that with your work and your two children?
Look, not going to lie, it's not been easy. Mm. But I've kind of dabbled in politics in a private way for a long time. I've supported Megan Picardi and Deirdre Thompson for the two kind of cycles before Megan. I've campaigned for Ross for many years. So I've always had the value that you should work hard and you should be rewarded for what you have. Mm. And I think that's where I align with the party. And I decided that I had an event for school and the deputy mayor came and a couple of the other councillors came. And after that, I jokingly had said, oh, if, you know, if the Winner Manly seat, if we ever thought we, you know, could get it, I might have a crack. And then literally 2 weeks later, the Lord Mayor's office rang me and said, oh, we hear you're going to be the next Winner Manly candidate. And I was just like, oh, I know who you've been talking to. So I said, look, I'm not sure if I can do this. I said, I work full time. I work in a job that I was fundraising at the time for the school. I said it would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Poor Ben is not political at all. He's just one of these guys that just, it's not his jam, and that's fine. That's probably a good thing. And after I spoke to the Lord Mayor's office, they said, go and have a chat with your boss and have a chat with your husband. And I spoke to them both, and they were both really supportive. And we made some changes at work so that I wouldn't be doing the same kinds of things I was doing before. And that's kind of how it came about. And then I had to go through a whole process with the party. And
so what does that look like?
What does that look like? Mm. That's a very good question. Mm. So we had to pay an application fee, and they, you know, want to know all the ins and the outs of, you know, what degrees do you have and where have you worked, and, you know, a bit like, I guess, a resume, yeah, so to speak, and why do you think you'd be a good candidate, and there's an interview, and then, yeah, and then I have to go to my local branch and they have to kind of endorse me. Mm-hmm. So there was an option, you know, nominations were open if anyone else was interested, and no one else was at the time interested in going for council.
Lucky you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was lucky me or not. And I was lucky enough that the party members from this area did, you know, endorse and were happy to have me, and they've been really supportive, and I've been really lucky to have them. But it's a lot of the things I'm doing now I was almost doing before, and now I'm just doing it on steroids. So, you know, like Tracy Lucott with Celebrate, I've been to that for the last 4 years. I've helped source prizes from, you know, business owners that I knew.
Just to be supportive.
Just to be supportive. Mm. You know, Maggie and Charlie went through General Gordon Kindy, you know, just up the road. Yeah. Such a great little community kindy, and I was on the committee for that both the years they were there, helping them with their fundraising, because that's where my skill set was.
Mm.
So I've, you know, I was a Lion of Moreton Bay for many years. After Leo's at school, I joined the club, and sadly they folded a few years ago. I think they would have liked me to be their president, but at the time I just didn't have capacity with, as you say, 2 children and a full-time job. So at the moment I'm working full-time, doing like an 8 till 4 kind of situation, and then anything after 4 is time for me to meet with community members, sporting groups, business owners, anyone who wants to reach out and have a chat and talk about the direction, you know, that we'd like to take Winning Manly in. I've been doing that. So most nights are eaten up with a few of those. Sometimes I get home and do homework and help cook dinner quickly and get a load of washing on or like in and then
out again,
which is the kids understand. They knew this was coming and we kind of prepared that there was going to be a period of time that I would be very busy. And then in the new year, I'm going to take my long service leave so I can, you know, do it full time, because I think I really want to give this a good crack. I need to be putting my whole my whole mind into it. And at the moment, I feel like I'm not doing enough, and that's just the way it's always going to be while you're trying to spread yourself thin, so to speak.
Is it a bit like what you said about your dad before? Are you doing lots of everything, but not feeling like you're doing anything
absolutely
to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've been very blessed to have so many opportunities given to me or offered to me through our life. Dad actually had a stroke straight after I finished school while Tori was still in high school. So Mum and Dad lost their income he was in his, you know, early 50s. And so we had to adapt quite quickly. And that was actually really sad, because I'd literally started dating Ben in the December, and Dad had his stroke in January. So Ben actually never met my dad pre-stroke.
Yeah.
And so that was a tricky time for us. Mum and Dad were kind of lucky that they'd worked really hard to pay as much of their house off as they could. So they financially they were okay, but there was nothing extra.
Yeah. And so, he's never returned to work?
No, never returned to work. He was always quite creative, like I said before. So he's done a lot of art, and he's done a lot of art. So he still does a bit of that as, I guess, almost like therapy, you know. He does a lot, and he's very good at what he does. We've got one in our office at work, and everyone walks in and goes, "That painting is beautiful." I said, "Oh yeah, Dad did that." So I'm very lucky that we have an amazing support for him. Mum has been incredible with the support she has given him. She's literally pretty much been his carer for, you know, 20 years. So,
wow, and I'm sure your mother-in-law and your mother and your sister, while you were out campaigning, or at their come to the party to help out as well.
Oh, absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. And, you know, my sister's helping more than that. She's actually my campaign manager.
Oh, wow.
And she's worked a little bit in politics before. She worked in the previous state member's office when it was Neil Symes. So she has, you know, been around this before. And I've got some really wonderful supporters on my team who have been or are or still are heavily involved in, you know, campaigns and politics, or they work for local councillors or local state members. So, and they live here.
Yeah.
They love Winner Manly, and they just, you know, want to see it be the best that it can be. So
what will it mean for you if you win next year?
It will mean that I will have to resign from the Moreton Bay Colleges after 18 years there. And that is sometimes that affects me more than people probably realise.
Just weighs heavily.
Yeah. But I also feel like I'm ready for a new chapter and I'm ready for something different. And I've always been an advocate for our schools, and now I feel like I want to be an advocate for this area. And I think that's probably the best way I can explain it. I honestly think where people come for tours at school and who live on the other side of town, and they talk about coming to Moreton Bay, and I go, oh, so are you thinking of moving over here? You should go down to the markets. And I start rattling off all of these things. And I've actually had some people move out here because I've told them how great it is.
Yeah.
And some of which we're actually friends with now. And they said to me, it's so funny, we moved here because you told us to go to this, you know, this cafe, or you told us to go and walk along the waterfront. So we did that after the tour, and we decided that we love the area. So I feel like I've almost been the, you know, tourism Winner Manly lady for a while now. So, but yeah, it is such an incredible part of the world, and we are so lucky to live here.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we wrap up, I do need to circle back to the African tour.
Oh, yeah. Actually, so in 2010, we ran our first Africa tour to Tanzania, and we fundraised to do a project over there, and we fundraised to put ceilings in the classrooms in a Maasai village in Tanzania so that the children wouldn't get covered in dust. And the boys went over and they put the ceilings in, and we painted them and all of that.
And I went,
but I had to pay to go because we didn't get enough numbers. The first tour in 2010, Diana Patchett, who was actually a local teacher here at one of the local state schools, she was the one that was driving the tour. And I said, I really want to go. And she goes, Alex, we just don't have the numbers to have another staff member. I said, I'll pay. And so this was pre-kids. So I paid to go on the first Africa tour. And then in the 2012 one, we had more numbers, so I managed to be able to go as a supporting staff member. Oh, maybe more than twice. Oh. Came back in 2012, and I said to Ben, before we have kids, you need to come to Tanzania. So Donna, who runs the tour company that we go through, who's actually a Winner Manly lady, she has an incredible story. I'm sure at some stage you'll cross paths with Donna. But Donna said, Alex, I'll do you a good deal. I'll do it because I'll be like justifying to Ben. This is going to cost us X amount of dollars, was a bit tricky. So off we went to Tanzania, and he fell in love with it too, and it was amazing. And then 2014 tour didn't happen because I was on maternity leave and there was no one kind of to drive it. 2016 tour happened and I was pregnant. And I didn't do the mountain climb that time because we climb a mountain while we're there too. It's like part of the Duke of Ed kind of journey that they can do their challenge component, climbing Mount Meru, which is next to Kilimanjaro. So it's absolutely the most incredible experience. And if anyone's ever thinking about going to Africa, I'll always say it'll steal a piece of your heart and never give it back. It is the most amazing place. And we were set to go again. I organised a 2018 tour but didn't go. The kids were too young. And then I organised the 2020 tour and we had to cancel it. Not being back, I'm going to wait till the kids are a bit older and then take them. But it is definitely one of those things where we have worked really hard before we went. And every time one of our boys actually, he did, you know, like the GoFundMe, and we raised enough money to build a whole classroom.
Oh, wow.
And then we've raised enough money to pay for teachers. We've paid for medical care. We've paid for textbooks. Lots of different things over the years through the school's Leo's Club that I was running. We would do all this fundraising within the school community, but also, you know, Bunnings barbecues and all sorts of things. Not to pay for the boys to go, that was self-funded by the families, but to do the project work while we were there. And that was absolutely the most,
what great experience as well for you, but also the boys, won't forget, and the contribution to another country as well.
One of the boys that came on the tour, he now owns with his mum Sunny Jim in Wynnum, the menswear store.
Oh, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
So Jesse came to Africa tour with us, and he came back so changed that the kids, we went to a school and they had like a music class and they were drumming with all broken drumsticks. So he came back and fundraised to buy like, I don't know, 1,000 drumsticks.
Brand new drumsticks,
and
yeah.
then he had them kind of shipped
oh,
over.
Wow.
So these boys had the most incredible opportunity to go, but I know that it changed them. Absolutely did. So
yeah. That's invaluable.
As I said, opportunities have been there for me and I've been very blessed, but I'm, you know, willing to work hard to make a difference if I can.
Well, it's been lovely chatting with you and getting to know you a bit, and all the best for next year and the campaign moving forward.
Thanks, Lana. I really appreciate it.